Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Well, with the coming of September and kind of the unofficial beginning of fall, we wanted to kind of come to a conclusion of a study that we've been doing over the summer of the great I Am statements that Jesus had made or have been made through the Old and the New Testament about who God is in our lives. So often we take for granted our church and our faith. We just assume that by showing up that we understand who God is, but throughout the scriptures, God is constantly trying to tell us something about his character and about engaging in our faith journey. In Jeremiah chapter 18, we learn that God is talking to his people and he says, "I am the potter and you are the clay. If you will yield to me, I will shape and mold your life to be something more than you could possibly imagine. But as clay, we need to be yielded. We need to be willing to be worked. We need to be willing to be shaped so that in good times and in bad, God is using these events to shape our character for wonderful and for beautiful purposes. God is the potter and we are the clay. In David's great Psalms, David relates in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in many respects, David is saying, "I have all that I need." When God is your shepherd, he's somebody that's watching over you, guiding you, protecting you. He's got the big picture about what your life is all about. And he goes out and finds the sheep that are lost. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice." And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus said, he tells a parable about leaving the 99 sheep and finding that one. And there's a sense of God being that shepherd that watches over us, of caring for us, of somebody that is going to protect us when we don't know the dangers that we're in ourselves. In the New Testament, we finally realize that we live in a land that needs some nourishment, and there are people that are desperately parched. And Jesus said, "I am the living water." I met a couple of weeks ago that had come in from out west. And I asked them a little bit about their journey through West Virginia and Ohio and what they thought, because our mountains don't really compare that much to the Rocky Mountains. And they said, "But the thing that I noticed so much about this area is how lush and green it all is." I said, "Out west, it can be very parched and dry. But here it is so green," and sometimes we take that for granted. We take for granted the beauty, and I don't know if you've noticed, but it's been kind of humid a little bit lately. But out of that humidity comes this green lush that we sometimes take for granted, and pretty soon what's going to happen? All of those leaves are going to start turning color, and they're going to be vibrant reds and yellows and oranges that are just going to come bursting into life, and sometimes we'll take that for granted too. And I'm always amazed because it always seems to me that there are other people from other parts of the country that will take bus tours through where we live just to see what we take for granted. Jesus said, sometimes our lives can be so parched and so dry. And he told a story to a woman who had come to the well in the heat of the day carrying water. And he said, "I'm that living water. I'm the water that will bubble up with joy and passion and vibrancy." And I want you to think about your own faith journey this morning as we gather for our time before the throne of God. Do we just kind of go through the motions every Sunday we kind of get up? Or is there a sense of passion? Do we come to God with a "I have to" or "I must" or "I should"? Or do we come to worship, to sing and to pray because we get to? Because God allows us to come and speak with him and encounter him in a personal and deeply intimate way. Jesus said, "I'm that living water." And then in John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the substance of your life. I am that basic nutrition worth feasting on. The Word of God. I am that basic element that gives you strength and purpose for the journey of life. Well, today we're going to continue in that journey, and I realize that a lot of that has to do with the foundations of life about water and food and security and meaning and molding. But sometimes I find that a lot of people can go down a path. We all have a vision of where our lives want to go, and sometimes we start down that path, but they get off track a little bit, and we find that sometimes we get to a place that we never intended. Many of us have heard of that old kind of cliche of people going through a midlife crisis. Have you ever heard of that? Where they get to a place in life and they said, this is not how I intended it to be. I wanted my life to be different. I thought it was going to be different. I had this vision of a white picket fence, of a two-car garage, of a house and a family and a dog or something like that. And I expected it all to work out, just like it does on the Brady Bunch. In a half hour, all of the problems are solved. But somehow I have problems that don't go away. Or maybe I'm facing things like illness or broken relationships, and I have to deal with them. How do I deal with that in a consistent way? And sometimes we can get off track and we can feel lost. What do we do then when the path and the faith that we took for granted isn't satisfying? Sometimes whenever we get off track, whenever we get lost, what happens? There wells up within us a sense of anxiety, stress, uncertainty about where we are. And those are the signs that we have gotten off track. We've become distracted by other things and we've lost our way. So this morning, Jesus tells his disciples about who he is in the journey of our own life. And we want to encounter that as the final passage of the great I Am statements of Jesus. As we do so, we want to open up God's Word and let it speak to us. Will you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Jesus has just upset the apple cart for his disciples. He's told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and to suffer. And that's not what they had envisioned at all. And so they're going through, if you will, a religious midlife crisis. What are we going to do now? Jesus said, I'm going to have to leave for a while. And if you've ever gone through that emotional turmoil of grief and of loss and of reorientation, then listen to Jesus' words as he inspires and comforts us. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, in our time together, we pray especially for those that are feeling lost and alone and anxious. Help guide us. Help us to read the signs. Help us to listen to the word. And help us to follow you faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so easy to get off course, to set a path of what you wanted your life to look like, But inevitably, as you go down through life, there are those moments of detours. There is road work. There are things that get you off task. There are those distractions that will turn you from right or left. And you will feel that welling up within you, that sense of anxiety, of being where you did not want to be, of looking back at your life, wherever stage that may be, and say, how did it come to this? Am I too lost to be found again? How do I find the way to where God is, to what I had envisioned of a whole and complete life? In this passage, the disciples are very anxious about the future. And Jesus comes back in that wonderful I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the passage. It isn't just a series of rules that Jesus gives. It isn't more obedience to follow the strict rituals that were so dominant of the Old Testament, as much as it is, I am a person. Follow me. Know me. When you have known me, you have known the Father. And so what Jesus begins to do is start by helping us understand the core of our religion, the core of our faith is a relationship. The core of our journey is a relationship to know Jesus better. And in this passage, Jesus helps us to understand a couple of important things that can help shape our lives. The first thing is to recognize that there really is a destination that God is intending for all of us, a path that we're all meant to walk. Life is not just a series of random events, but of signposts about who God is and about the journey that we're on. Somebody once wrote that life is a question and all of our choices are the answer. God is inviting you to choose Him, to choose a life of joy and of goodness, but our choices determine whether we either move closer to that destination or farther from it. As we gather together, as we gather as a church, we come together to reorient our lives and say, today, in this moment, am I moving closer towards who God is, towards the person God created me to be, or am I moving farther away? Am I depending more upon my own strength and my own abilities rather than dependent upon what God can do in and through me? God has a purpose for us, a destination, and that destination is to walk with Jesus. The second thing that comes almost naturally out of that is if there is a destination, if there is a path to be walked, then there's also a path that leads absolutely nowhere, and many will choose it. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book Screwtape Letters, which is a dialogue that is happening between two demons. The two demons are talking and say, the pathway to hell, the pathway to nowhere, is the most easiest to follow. It is soft underfoot. It is without sudden turning. It is enjoyable to walk, and many people will take it. We will take the easy way. The way to understand who God is sometimes requires challenges, and that should be the thing that excites you. It requires more of you. It demands growth out of you, and it creates a sense of vitality and a sense of passion for understanding who you are and who God is. If it were just sitting in front of the TV, it wouldn't be worth very much at all. The journey to know God, to walk with Christ, is sometimes demanding. The journey to understand any of our relationships, our loved ones, are sometimes demanding. They're frustrating. Sometimes we get angry, and sometimes we just get so beside ourselves, and sometimes we grow as a result of it. The demanding parts of our faith are those parts that help us to grow the most. Jesus says, the pathway that I walk is to know God and to know yourself even better. There is an easy way that says you can go your own route, but it leads absolutely nowhere. Walk the way I have walked. And finally, it says, choose the blessing of life. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, when Moses was pointing the Hebrews to the promised land. God is speaking to them in Deuteronomy chapter 4 through Moses, and he says, I am offering you life or death, blessings or curse. Choose life then, so that you and your descendants may live. God offers you a new way, but you must choose it. You must walk that way. You must decide on a Sunday morning to experience the fullness of what God is doing. In your prayer time or in your Bible study, will you take time to know the right way? Will you open up the map of what life is all about? Or will you walk the way you want to do that leads absolutely nowhere? So what are those signposts? What are those signs and those things that we can look at? First of all, whenever you feel welling up within you, that sense of anxiety, that sense of stress, that life is becoming overwhelming or life has no meaning, it's a good indication that you've lost the path, that you're on the wrong road. Sometimes you have to learn to your heart and to your conscience. Let God speak to you. Allow God to continue to guide you in the way that He wants to walk. Ask those questions from time to time in prayer and in Bible study. God, who am I and what path have you chosen for me? Am I drawing myself closer to who Jesus is or farther away? And finally, learn from the experiences of others. Gather with other people that have walked the same journey that you are going through and learn from them. I love the passage from John Wesley that says, the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. It is always communal. It is always relational. It is always growing and developmental. As we gather together as a church, we gather as a community to learn from one another. And in our shared stories, walk the path together. Encourage one another in that deeper relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. When you come to me, you have known the Father, and life will be restored to you, true, abundant life. Ask yourself this morning, in the journeys, the decisions that lie before you, what you'll do tomorrow, the decisions that you have, will those decisions, those choices, bring you closer to your relationship with God or farther away? And how will that journey play out in the years ahead? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for our fellowship, for our time together, and for your Spirit that works within us. Guide us, O God, to follow the path and to remain at your side. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.